So we will turn our attention.
Monster Hits for Gila County. Gila 101.9.
To Globe Mayor Al Gameros, who joins us by phone. His daughter had surgery this morning. So, Globe, so Al, firstly, how's your daughter doing?
She's doing fine.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear.
Yeah, she's doing good right now. So, thank you for the opportunity to allow me to do it by phone. I know people want to hear a lot of information also.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, the way it works is that even though you're on the phone, if anybody wants to call in, we can easily take calls as well. Just call us at 888-876-5593. So it'll be just like you were here. So the floor is yours, Al.
Okay, well, I don't know really where to start. I really wanted to give you, just a history in the first 48 hours, when this mishap happened on Friday the 26th. So I'll just start with that, and any time break in, ask questions. If anybody has any, please call. You know, that night, around 6 o'clock that night, I took a trip to the Elks Club near Denny's. I had to deliver a check over there. On my way back, I drove downtown and noted how busy it was. Lots of people everywhere, most in the restaurants, the bars. So I went home because Mercury was playing that night, and about 30, 40 minutes later, I got a call at home and asked me if I was looking at social media. And I told no, so I logged on, and I saw a river of water, cars, tanks, and I wondered what state, what city that was until I realized that it was Globe.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was amazing. It wasn't really raining hard at my home. I live near Fry's. So I left immediately to the downtown area. The highway was already shut down at Highway 60 in Escadilla at the top of my hill. So I talked to the officer, and he said I would need a four-wheel drive to get, if he was allowing me to get through. Apparently the water receded enough to allow that. So John from Kino Floors was sitting there in his big four-wheel drive, and he offered to take me down. So that's how I ended up getting to the downtown area. You know, as we got through the Chamber of Commerce in that area, the amount of debris on the road, and it got worse as we got closer to the downtown area. You know, we saw tanks, cars, mud, debris. I noted a motorcycle on the side of the road, didn't know, you know, where that individual was. It was truly devastating to see the damage that we witnessed. We entered North Broad Street at the entrance on North Broad by Courtesy Ford. And getting through the downtown even looked worse. It took a while to get to the fire station, having to drive around all the obstacles and debris throughout the downtown North Broad Street. We did arrive at the fire station, and there were there already lots of emergency vehicles and personnel, fire and police that we noted. They were out already performing rescue operations and were getting ready, sending more crews out. At that time, I did meet our city manager, Paul Jepson, who was there already. And just to see the faces, you know, the concern and the urgency of everybody as we got there. I know that an older lady, she was sitting in a station in a chair. And I know fire personnel were comforting her. I guess she had been flooded out of her home. And they had taken her to the station to get her out of the danger area. We didn't know at that time how many vehicles were in the wash, how many victims were missing. I know Chief Robinson was in process, in command, requesting additional help, which we got from search and rescue, FEMA, and Maricopa search and rescue teams. DPS helicopter was dispatched, put in the air with their lights, and all our local swift water teams were activated to look for any potential additional victims. A lot of stuff going on social media, we noted at that time. We were at the station, so we went over to City Hall to produce a post to get it out immediately on social media on where everything stood, to at least give people hopefully some information to comfort them, because it was really chaotic, you know, to see all this. And again, that immediately, that primary objective that night, search and rescue. That was our primary. Secondary was trying to stabilize the highway, clearing the highway so we could open it back up. So we started talking about a state emergency declaration that night. We talked about scheduling a council meeting for the next morning so we could sign that declaration. And then after we completed all that, Paul and I walked the entire downtown area that was affected by the flood until around 3 a.m. in the morning. Mm. And it was difficult to see the amount of damage. I mean, the smell of propane, smell of natural gas, mud, vehicles, tanks were leaking. You know, I was in the fire service 30 years. I witnessed death, destruction, and suffering. And seeing the devastation of this flood made me sick. Knowing the amount of work, the dedication, the money, the livelihood of all these businesses from the downtown area. The work that our council and our staff have put in for the past 6 to 8 years to really elevate our city to another level. Many years. You know, we talked to ourselves, would it recover? How long would it take? You know, it seemed what we saw. So that morning, Saturday, we were back at 7 o'clock for a briefing area at Judy's Cookhouse parking lot. That's where all the resources were gathering. And they were giving a briefing. Chief Robinson was giving a briefing. A lot of departments arriving. We are under the Arizona State Mutual Aid, so we saw departments from Mesa, Apache Junction, Florence, and that gives help immediately the first 24 hours without worrying about any costs or stuff like that. Immediately, Chief Robinson identified that we needed to put a Type 3 incident management team in place to take over and manage a search and rescue. Our guys had been out there all night, and that really exceeded our resources. And we're familiar with the Type 3, Type 1, 2, 3 management teams because we've been in a wildland contract since 2001, so we know how they operate. The county, they established their emergency operations center, they immediately did that. And we established an incident command post at our city hall. All employees from the city were called in. All hands were on deck. We did get a meeting scheduled and arranged for noon, which we did. And we had our meeting at noon and voted and signed an emergency declaration, which also with that allows me to sign, you know, checks and move around from the procurement policies and stuff like that. Immediately after our declaration, Miami signed theirs, and then the county signed theirs, and the county covered all of Southern Gila County. So it covered San Carlos, Globe, Miami, and underincorporated within our area. Those were immediately pushed forward to the governor's office that Saturday after we signed them, and the governor signed them immediately. The Type 1 management team arrived around Saturday afternoon, took over command for search and rescue. They brought in about 150 people, which included about two 20-person hotshot crews, which we needed because of debris removal and trying to get to some of these vehicles that were jammed in the creeks and the bridges. So that continued throughout the night. Sunday, again, in fact, there at 7 a.m., all our staff, and I'll have to say our staff worked 12, 15, 16 hours a day, and probably did not get days off for three or four weeks with the amount of work they went through. The downtown was open around noon to business, to the owners, so they could evaluate. And amazing to see the amount of volunteers that showed up that Sunday afternoon and started shoveling debris and helping people out. The contractors bringing their heavy equipment and picking mud and, you know, just moving stuff just to get there. And we reflected on that night and we didn't know this at this time, but to only lose two lives that night was amazing. And we do remember and give our condolence, our prayer for those two that were lost, but it could have been much worse with the stories we heard, especially with the people that were in La Casita. We were talking, what if there's something was going on at the dance studio that night and the amount of kids that it could have been in those buildings that were really destroyed.
Yeah. So, it is an amazing, amazing amount of work, and to wind up then hearing, you know, the feedbacks from some social media posts and other things that that nothing's being done. Virtually everything that could have been done was being done.
Yes, it was. Yes, and that's the thing. And I tried to put out periodic messages out there to make sure that people knew that it was being done. It's just a lot of work and trying to organize things. And I think you had, I didn't hit here at all, but I guess you had our county emergency manager,
yes,
Carl Malford, and so he probably explained a lot of the procedures, the process of everything that takes place.
Yes.
You know, we never thought we'd go through a disaster like this. And here we were going through a disaster and trying to understand what was the process. How do we, you know, deal with it. You know, organizing it was, you know, we do that all the time. That's our job in the fire service. But as far as when we get to the state level and the federal level and the complexity of the documentation and everything, because, you know, and I've talked to many mayors. I started getting calls from mayors all over the state. I did get calls from even beyond our state. I got calls from the governor's office, Senator Gallego, Senator Kelly, Congressman Biggs, Congressman Eli Crane, all of them expressed, and they all came and visited after that also to the area, but they did continue calls to see how our recovery was going.
I think there's a few things important. Some people wondering what could have been done in advance, like enough wasn't done in advance. Well, the reality in a situation like this is there was virtually nothing that could have been done in advance.
No, there was no warning. And the amount of water that came down, you know, and I think even as we look at it now, because I think everybody's going to look at the future different now. We have seen the potential that can happen. You know, we never imagined that coming out of Broad Street on by Courtesy Ford onto Highway 60, that waterway would ever run over. That thing is 20 feet deep there. And to see that run over and wash vehicles out of Courtesy Ford parking lot and go into and flooding Salinas and all these other areas, we would have never imagined that. And there's nothing, hopefully, that we can in the future slow, maybe decrease the damage if this were to happen again, which I hope it never does again. But, you know, by dredging the creeks, doing stuff like that, maybe doing something, some mitigation, you know, some extra mitigation with the burn scar that we have, because that increases the flow of the water too. But it was just a tremendous amount of water that we have never seen this amount. It would have never held over anything when we saw it come down.
Yeah. It really defies a lot of imagination in a way. I think one of the saddest things, and I'm sure you've encountered this a lot, is individuals who mm-hmm. thought that that insurance covers floods and thought they were covered.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of people who have virtually nowhere to turn, and they're thinking in terms of, well, there's some government program for me, and that's what we're discussing mm-hmm. with Carl. There may well mm-hmm. not be for a lot of reasons. And, you know, Globe was one situation. Miami's another. I think that it needs to be looked
yes.
at. What was ADOT really doing on Highway 60, and did that contribute and all that? And I'm sure that they're dealing with that as well. But for the guy who right now is up the creek without out a paddle, we were talking about, you know, things like Salvation Army and such. But the idea mm-hmm. that waiting for FEMA to hand you a check, it doesn't work like that.
No, and then I think that's a misconception that people have out there.
Yes.
You know, we started the process, and even as, because if we get the state level reimbursement, that's at a 75%,
right.
75-25, and that goes to government. That goes to, I know that we probably, I don't know what the count is right now that we spent several million dollars already on stabilization of our community to try and continue us to be able to open up again. You know, we had water line repairs. We had two 12-inch mains break. We had many other water lines. We had main sewer lines that were broken. We had debris in our sewer lines that we're still cleaning up today. So there's a lot of money being put in. The security that we had to have down here, downtown, we had to have, we hired, we did the initial assessments on buildings to red tag them or green tag them or yellow tag them, but then we hired an engineer to come in and either turn them or keep them the same or move them forward so they could start rebuilding. So there was a lot of work done, you know, and you got deadlines to meet. You got a 30-day deadline to meet with DEMA. There's a window where you got to apply.
Wow.
We had to bring in external experts. This was beyond whatever we were used to. We brought in an outside emergency manager, and was here for 3 weeks. We had three different ones in 3 different weeks. We had a finance manager for invoices and timesheets, a debris manager. If you don't separate, if you don't do it right, they'll disqualify it. You won't get reimbursed.
Right.
So we depend on that reimbursement, because if we don't get it, and I'll have to tell you, we're very fortunate as a city to have a fund balance. We had a very healthy fund balance of $3 million,
yes,
which was restricted, and that's part of it. But then we have an enterprise fund balance also, which was $3 or $4 million. So both of those are being tapped into right now. And then those will be potential for reimbursement in the future from the state, or if we can elevate it to the federal level, at 90% reimbursement.
Right. And that's something Carl and I were talking about on the air, is while that's nice to think, the requirements for getting to that federal level are such that economically it doesn't seem like Globe and Miami, the area, will be able to meet.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the threshold at the state. I think it was $7 million. You got federal at $13 million.
Right.
Now, we met the thresholds with it just within the city of Globe. We have met those thresholds
for both.
We send them there
for both of them.
For both.
That'd be great.
State and federal.
Okay.
And we have met them. They have been submitted. But again, when it gets there, they could disqualify things. So you have to have a higher number than really. You don't want to be at that right amount. You want to be at a higher level in order to
Sure. Hopefully
take up some of that where you get that reimbursement.
Sure.
So it was complex. Our staff worked immensely. It was frustrating, and it still is frustrating. You know, I think at the federal level, I hear it could take months, years. We were lucky that last week we had a bipartisan letter sent to President Trump directly from our Arizona legislators, and it was bipartisan. Both
Good.
Democrats and Republicans signed it from Arizona legislators, and that to for him requesting to consider signing our federal disaster immediately. So this is the stuff we're going to need. And even as we move forward, as we look at dredging, are we doing something with the creeks, we're going to need that legislative support. We're going to need federal money. We're going to need federal funds to do what we want to do. So it's going to take a lot of work, but that's our focus now. You know, we had our vision, we had our strategic action plan that we said last year. And a little bit of that has changed. Although our ultimate goal is still to continue to build Globe, but for right now, there's going to be this little bit as we recover and get back to a normalcy again.
Yeah.
I guess we can call it.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously this has overshadowed anything else that is going on, to say the least. And just because the floods are over, it doesn't mean that, just as you're describing, that the work to get back to some form of normalcy is in any way over. We'll be seeing this undoubtedly over the next year or more, and you'll stay on it. Which we appreciate. When we were talking with Carl, for homeowners who don't know where to turn at all, one of the things that he had said was that that many people have already called the emergency management and gotten their names on there for help as needed, and the idea of going to the Chamber of Commerce for SBA loans and things about that. So there are some options, but ultimately it's a very helpless feeling, because there's many things, like we were saying. You know, everybody said, well, you should have done something to prevent it. Well, then you talk about, well, exactly what would that be? And you find out that there are some things that are not fully preventable. And yes, you hope that somebody thought of flood insurance, but even people who thought about it, maybe they couldn't have afforded it if it was available to them at all. So, you know, going forward is very sobering. Because, you know, to some degree, when people say, I'm a sitting duck, yeah, actually you are. So trying to harden your property as much as possible is the way to go. And also to realize that, you know, it is classified as a 175-year event.
Yep.
That doesn't mean it can't happen next year. It just means that it's highly unlikely to.
Yeah, I hope not in my lifetime again. But, you know, and when we talk about that, the amount of devastation, but visiting these people every day and seeing the amount of work that was done by volunteers, but by the business people, you know, investing their money back into their business to open them up and to have these businesses open now is totally amazing. I mean, there wasn't ever that doubt. These people were positive. They were, you know, I think it was just what brought our community together, you know, and brought people from the outside together to help each other out. And I would never have thought that we'd have that many businesses open right now. Yeah. At this point, you know, what, about 6 weeks, 8 weeks? So, you know, it truly is amazing.
Yeah, sadly, we hate to hear about disaster, but the one thing that seems universal is this is where people rise to the occasion, and we see what people are made of, and for the most part, that's very good news. There are isolated examples that are not, but overall, it's very heartwarming.
It is, and, you know, I went to Hurricane Ivan in 2005 with FEMA, under a wildland contract when I was working with fire. And we were 6 days into, I ended up in Swannanoa, North Carolina, where they had floods similar to ours. And there had been no movement done in 6-7 days after. People were still living in trailers that had been 6 foot deep. They had no water, they had no gas, they had no sewer. And to see where we're at, where we were within the first week or two was really an eye opener, you know, and really it complements our community and the people that came out to make it happen.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but we do just one thing. I want to make sure people, you can still donate to United Fund of Globe Miami. Remember that those funds are split from business to resident. Local First of Arizona administering the business part of it. Salvation Army of Globe is administering the resident. We also want to make sure that they understand that some of the people already got the initial $5,000. And they'll be getting a secondary allotment, but the money has not totally been received. Remember, it's only been pledged. You know, the big ones, $1 million, $500,000, they've been pledged, but they haven't been received. They're still working through their own processes to get to United Fund.
Sure.
We encourage people, SBA, I know people don't want to think about taking on another debt, but you can apply. You don't have to take the loan, but they've already approved, I think, about $1.3 million in loans already. And that's a combination of business and residents. But the loans are low interest, 3%. They can drag them out for 30 years, and you don't have to pay the first year.
Right, which is excellent. So if it's you just need something to get over that hump, you will have a year to do it that'll be interest free. So that,
exactly.
Now you mentioned some people were getting checks for $5,000. I'm sure there's other people who are saying, $5,000, where do I get that? So what's the process for that?
Well, that's business. I'm only talking about the business one.
Okay.
The residents, that's another process. They have to go through there and they fill out applications. The business actually have to do online applications with the local First of Arizona when that opened, and then it closed. And so I think I understand there was close to 60 to 70 businesses applied. I don't know how many have been awarded, but the initial approval was $5,000 to get money going out to these businesses.
Okay.
And they spent way more than that. You know, that's really a drop in the bucket.
Sure it is.
And then they'll get a secondary amount as soon as all the money has been pledged, it comes in. United Fund, or I mean Local First, to make sure that money comes out and gets to.
Good. Good. So
I don't know if there's any.
I was going to say, I can't imagine you've got anything to add to this report, but if you do, we want to hear it.
Just ongoing, you know, we're also working, and I think Carl mentioned maybe some. We're looking on NCRS. That's a federal option, and I didn't hear about if you got to qualify for that, but we got a 60-day window that we're working on.
Good.
To try and meet those numbers, so because then that will be an option for business and residents. You know, the state and the federal are not going to come and save us. They're not going to come in with white horse with a bunch of money. They're not. They're going to help us hopefully get reimbursement to that money that we spent to stabilize our city, our infrastructure, all this stuff. And it's still ongoing. We're still stabilizing debris in the lines and stuff like that. So,
and what is
this is where it's at right now.
What is NCRS?
NCR is a national, I know you'd ask me that again. It's a relief something national, but it's something that we looked into and we saw out there that we wanted to We're working hard to get that, meet that 60-day window for application.
Okay. All right. Well, anything that you need the public to know, you know we're here to disseminate, so don't hesitate to let us know what that is. We're all in this together.
And we totally appreciate that because, you know, we want to make sure the right information gets out. And the other thing we're pushing, you know, we got a lot of TV stations that come to our city, and we're telling them we're open. This is how we're going to recover. Come to our community, spend some money, Globe Miami. We need that revenue in order to recover. So we're not closed just because we had a flood. We're to a point where you can come and visit us now.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Al, thanks for taking a time out. Here's wishing a speedy recovery to your daughter, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you very much, brother.
All right. So that's Mayor Al Gameros from the City of Globe, and this will repeat on KJAA Sunday morning at 8:30, and also it'll be on KQSS.net in perpetuity. There's a link right on the home page, so you'll be able to get that. Take me a couple days probably to get that done, but we will, and you will hear it.